This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, guys! The fuck's going on?
Sebastian, please, no swearing.
Hey, who here loves trains?
I'll get you inside.
Tyson Trains is proud to present our competitive model train world champion, Sebastian Bach.
You know, I was told that I wasn't supposed to swear in here tonight. But I just know that there are some great fucking trains here in Bangor.
How'd you get into model railroading, Sebastian?
Great question. A couple tours back, me and the guys woke up one morning. We had stolen a model train from somewhere the night before. Crazy fucking night. I don't know. We didn't really remember. But we set it up, and geez, before we even knew it, we weren't even drinking in the daytime anymore. We were just playing with that train. I fucking love model train railroading, man. That's how I became a champion.
Yeah? Who holds first place in weight pull this year?
That would be Patrick Swayze.
Damn right. Is it true that you backed down from a fight with him last year?
As I told everybody, I was sick with the fucking flu. I didn't back down from shit.
Bullshit, you had the flu. You had the I'm afraid of Patrick Swayze.
Guys, if you want to talk about Patrick Swayze all fucking night, then it's over for here for me right now.
You're listening to the Cobras and Fire podcast, part of the Decibel Geek and Uncontrolled Noise Radio Network, hosted by two guys who have been kicked out of more restaurants than Tommy Lee. I'm talking about Baco, and I'm talking about Loose Cannon.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, Luz Cannon, and I'm joined, as always, with the Diabolus, Baco. How are you, sir?
You know, you and I spoke yesterday, and I think for the first time in a few weeks, my mood seemed probably a little lighter than it had for a while. Would you agree with that?
Midday, maybe?
Yeah, it was like we talked in the morning yesterday.
Sure. Okay.
Because we were going to record last night, and I'll get to that in a second here. Like the trip to Nashville, like before and after, it's like I've had my job was one thing before and after, it's entirely different. It's like it's like being traded from the New England Patriots to Cleveland. It's you go from this class, well organized machine where everything just flows to this cesspool where everything's just and everything you do ends up fucking you in the face. But I have had just a brutal, I'll spare the details because they're really boring. It's all just work-related crap that nobody cares about. But my God, I am just a fucking irritable mess every fucking day by the time I get home. You know, I sit on the couch and I don't want to move. But the point is, you spoke to me through the past few weeks off and on.
Yeah.
I think when we talked yesterday, it was clear that there was a lighter step in my stride. I was feeling good about life. Nothing gonna break my stride. Nobody gonna
slow me down. Which means something terrible is about to happen.
Exactly. And then right around lunchtime, which is always when everything fucking goes to hell as you're about to walk out the door and eat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just everything. And then the rest of the day was shit. And then you and I were getting ready to record last night. And just as you're about to text me, I'm on the phone with work with some fucking bullshit issue that me and one of the owners have to go in and take care of. Again, I'll spare the details because they're not that important. And frankly, it would take forever and be really fucking boring. But I need this right now.
Oh, yes. I totally understand it. I need this as well. And... you know, it is really upsetting when your work, your employer that pays you, you know, blocks you from doing something for free.
Yes. You know, they're supposed to.
No, we're not.
I work to subsidize the podcast.
That's right. Right.
Yeah. You know, real quick, I was thinking today, like, you know, when we started this 4.5 years ago, it's a lot like, you know, you got to think a little plan ahead on what you do, because if this actually works out and the podcast picks, you know, does good like it has, we got to keep doing it.
Right.
And it's like, fuck.
Yeah.
So yeah, I got to keep working. I could quit my job if it wasn't for this podcast. I got to do for free.
Exactly. I mean, look at this. I mean, neither of us have gotten a promotion in 4.5 years. you know, I have conflicts in my marriage now. My parenting skills have gone out the window. My car dies every day. I mean, it's I'm pretty sure this was basically a terrible thing that I started. Has destroyed my life on a weekly basis. But I hope everybody's enjoying it.
On a positive note, I've had at least 3 divorced men ask me if I can decorate their efficiency apartment.
All podcasters.
Apparently, I look like an expert. So that guy knows what he's doing. But I did have a bit of levity during this last couple of weeks. The Minnesota State Fair, I go once a year. Now, I know that these are the ones that I know that are big, are Minnesota, Iowa, and Texas. I've been to the Arizona State Fair, and it is basically just a flea market. But the Minnesota State Fair is a pretty grand event. You grew up in Indiana. That's kind of in the sticks. Did anything with the state fair there happen?
Oh, no. It was just garbage. It was right outside of Indianapolis. Basically, the Indiana State Fair is like when you say, like, hey, the artists are now playing a state fair. Mm-hmm. That's what it means. You're like in a barn, stuff like that. But I'm guessing it's a whole different level. For the Minnesota,
for the longest time, the live music was always like, if you bands playing there were like, you know, I mean, during the 80s, you'd see like Foghat, stuff like that, you know.
I love Foghat.
It's
whenever
gotten
you see Foghat
better in the
bill.
Last decade or so, it's still, I don't know, it's never the reason I go. The only show I've ever saw at the grandstand there was Hairball last year. And okay. So Kiss has played it twice. They came here with the Kiss and Motley Crue tour. I think it was the last one they were there at.
Sure.
But I've never bothered with that kind of stuff. This year it was like Hall & Oates, ZZ Top.
Shot, 'cause what you got is oh so sweet. You gotta make it out like a boomerang. I need a repeat. You gotta whip it up and hit me like a tunnel.
Trick were one of the bigger acts, so that kind of stuff. But the culinary is next level. Like, some of it gets ridiculous because they it's almost a challenge every year to see what you can put on a stick. But no joke, you can the vendors. First of all, this the property that this is on is privately owned. So there's this family that just rakes in millions of dollars.
Wow.
On this, and it's like a small city. It has its own streets with street signs and everything. When the fair is not happening, you can drive through and stuff, just like you would. Like, it's right in the heart of right between St. Paul and Minneapolis there. But The vendors who wait like a decade or so just to be able to get like a place to sell their shit on a stick, if they want to add new food, they have to get it approved by a board of people that own the state fair. It is this kind of fucked up nuts thing, but I go for the food. There's always a lot of fun to try stuff there. A lot of people watching, but it also has kind of your run-of-the-mill standard 4-H garbage, stuff like that. There's tons of free music, all sorts of side stages in bars. They have this thing called the Leinenkugel Lodge, which had a Queen tribute band that we watched. And you know how much I love a good tribute band.
Well, you love them.
And I'll tell you, it was good. But so go check out whatever this guy's name was who does this Queen tribute. But he was actually really good. I just don't remember who he was. It was like Steve or something.
No, it's called the Struts.
The Struts. You know, they've probably played that stage before when they're on their way up.
All I got to know is here's my question with the whole culinary food items. First off, I agree that everything tastes better on a stick and deep fried. Would you not say?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's definitely benefits to those two things. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. But the other part is I love state fairs and just general gatherings like that because it's the only place you can ever see grandma walking around with a huge brontosaurus-sized turkey leg.
Yeah, no shit. Well, they have those there. I don't like those, by the way.
Those are disgusting.
Yeah, they're fucking dry as fuck always. But one of the things my wife takes me into every year that I – and maybe it's because I grew up on a farm, but I don't think so because I actually think this is really fucking gross. They have a thing called the Miracle of Birth Barn, which basically they just fill it with farm animals that they know – over the next 12 days are going to be fucking right. Unleashing babies, right?
Sure.
So here's where I want... This is why I'm bringing this up. One of the things about craft brewing that you'd think I would embrace is that it has really broadened the amount of social gatherings that it is appropriate to drink too much beer at.
Sure, yeah.
Including the Miracle of Birth Barn. It is amazing... I'm walking through, and, you know, it's kids and 4-H people, and I literally, like, we walk by this thing, and I see a goat eating its own afterbirth, and I'm about to vomit.
I was waiting for that.
And I turn my head, and the first thing I see is some fucking hipster douche with a flight of beer on a stick. And he got somewhere, and he's just, like, sitting there looking at it, like, kind of tipping back some fucking, you know, $9 fucking 4-ounce beer. You know, it's like, oh, my God. I mean, that's what I thought of. It's like, oh, look, a goat eating its own afterbirth. I need to put some beer in me right now.
Oh, yeah. Do you know, there's nothing like that. They say that afterbirth... you know, pairs well with an IPA of 55 IBU. This farmhouse ale pairs well with two boars fucking.
So, yeah, it smells like shit. I'm fucking watching a fucking goat smothered in its own, like, blood and what's that clear shit that comes out with the whole all that nonsense. And it's just fucking chewing up the fucking umbilical cord. And I'm like, yeah, man, good thing they sell fucking, you know, Summit here. I need a couple, I don't know, Hefeweizens. That would be what you would go for with a cow barn.
Good God. You're really selling this. I got to get up there immediately for this. You told me it was a whole cultural event.
You've been
All spectrums of culture, though.
Okay.
But yeah, it is. You honestly, God, it's amazing how many old white people are getting fucked up on $8 beers all day.
Nice.
At every moment of the day. Yeah. And even in the goddamn miracle of birth barn. But
I'll tell you one thing about an $8 beer. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I will say that I have to take back a lot of my insults towards Coors Light, because I was at the Broncos game. And they had like maybe 10 different beers there. And the one that really stuck out, I was like, that's the one that I will tolerate. I got a Coors Light, and maybe it's because it's made right here in Golden, mm-hmm. and it came right out of the tap. But I got to tell you, it tasted fucking great that night.
It's a cool and refreshing, it's especially if it's a hot day or night and it's, yep. it's nice and cold. Yeah, just it goes down smooth, almost like water.
Yes, it did. Well, that's where I was at, man. That's my choices. So, but okay. But yeah, man. So,
well, one last thing on that.
Oh, yeah.
Is that I know we everybody comes to our show to hear, you know, any type of bathroom etiquette or tips. I'll tell you this. Anybody visiting the Minnesota State Fair, I have a new tip for you. The bathroom in the Miracle of Birth Barn is the go-to spot. It's clean. It's empty. Nobody knows about it. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
I just want to see somebody sneak it out. You got to take a dump. You just specifically look for the Miracle of Birth Barn. Recommendations online.
Yeah, shittery old. We have never really had advertisers or any kind of sponsorship on the show. We like to make everything free, but you know what? Things are growing for us, and we got to take advantage of it. So we do have an ad this week for the listener, and it's an ad for us. We're actually selling something. Actually, it's coming out of the Denver office of Cobras on Fire. Why don't you explain this thing, and we'll talk a little bit about it.
If you're not aware yet, and we've been posting this on our group and our page in the last at the time of the recording, the last couple of weeks, we have both a new website, cobrasandfire.com, and we also have a store there. That's cobrasandfire.com/shop. Ton of cool items there, but the one that I need to make a clarification, because there seems to be confusion, one that actually is real.
Yeah,
you seem to think that people think it's a joke.
This is definitely how I'm reading the responses to it. Nobody's actually reached out to me and asked me. I'm just like, I think we need to let them know this is an actual product they can buy. It is for sale. There's only one.
Right. I'll break it down. So for about a year or two, I've been toying with the idea, and I've talked to Bako about this kind of like the ultimate podcast box set. That is the box of Cobras, which packs all of our Cobra story. I may be so bold,
mm-hmm.
into one neat package of you know, 4.5 years. We're proud of what we've made, right?
Absolutely.
And there is, you've got a 32 gig Cobra thumb drive. This is a thumb drive filled with every single episode we've ever done. Plus, we also are adding all the episodes we've guested on, mm-hmm. all organized nicely. You can just plug this thumb drive into your car stereo, just like you would your iPhone or whatnot. And you can scroll through everything, because streaming is the devil. If there's an apocalypse, you still got the Cobras, right?
Yeah, streaming is actually okay for podcasts, I think.
Okay,
but hey, right. No, this gives you, look, it's there, whatever. If you got a 2-week trip with the family, boom, make them listen to some. Yeah, this is great family car listening.
Yeah. So and then also you've got, it includes a ticket to be a guest on our show. You pick the subject, you come on the show. It's got three t-shirts. It's got our original OG version. Came out a couple of years ago. It's got the Cobras and Fire logo one, the black and white one. We've got the rock, the latest, the Fight the Bots, Real Fans, 0% Bots, Rock and Bot Expo t-shirt in there. It's got the official jerk sock, right? It's featured only at the Expo before. It's got, it's leak resistant, anti-chafing, form fitting, and most importantly, conversation starter. It's got, it's,
I have three on my coffee table right now.
Yeah, exactly. You got two sizes provided for best fit, tube and ankle length. You've got a vinyl poster that was at the Expo. You've got a table stand from the Expo, packed with stickers, all four generations, 30 of them. It's got face fans. And it also has nice little souvenirs, like it has a Witch Vibe Club rewards card that's cracked.
And used, right?
Yeah, and used. And then it's got, it has some credits on it. You can cash it in.
Okay.
They want ID, unless they track me down that it's mine. And then it also has a squishable beer koozie, a few of those. But most importantly, you know, it's got our whole history in there, and it's for you. If you want it, boom, comes right to your door, and you have something that nobody else has. But
one of a kind.
That's it.
And it is real. It's really something. If you buy it, you will get it.
Yeah, and you also have. So watch the little video. There's no.
So think about that, though. You're getting three T-shirts that, you know, I mean, you're talking $10 to $20 to buy a T-shirt, depending on what you're talking about, and a guest spot on our show. I mean, typical shows when they auction these things off, I mean, those go for $50. Right there, you got right. your money paid for. Look, you want to spend the time, you can download every episode out there, too, but we'll put it on a thumb drive for you, and you don't have to do the work.
So it's all there for you. And again, you're just helping support the show, cover hosting costs, things of that nature. And, you get something cool and that's it. That's my whole, I'm done slinging boxes of Cobras.
And if you don't like that, you can check out our t-shirt selection. You can do that, pick your own color, your own size, all that neat stuff. You can buy the Get the Bots shirt there. But if you're going to go that route, you might as well just like, God, if I buy that shirt, I am $15 to $20 closer to getting a box of fire.
Coming closer.
gangster rap record label Death Row Records, home of many artists that helped basically personify the genre. Dr. Dre, Tupac, Snoop Dogg, Nate Dogg, yep. The Dog Pound. A lot of dogs on Death Row. But
a lot of dogs, yeah. NWA.
And a pretty, no, not NWA. NWA was Ruthless Records, I believe.
I think they were on there later, but that's fine. Maybe that's priority, but continue. Yeah, but offshoots of NWA.
Yeah, no, the Death Row was started by bailing on NWA.
All right. Let's, thank you for the history lesson, but continue.
Mm-hmm. I got that on the scroll a couple of weeks ago. Anyway, okay. They have a new owner, and it is Hasbro Toys.
If you want to win the game, you got to take a good aim and get the most marbles with your hippo. Playing Hungry, Hungry Hippos.
Hey!
Hungry, Hungry Hippos.
Hungry, Hungry Hippos is the name of the game, and who's ever hippo gets the most marbles wins.
Got it.
Playing Hungry, Hungry Hippos. Hungry, Hungry Hippos.
I win.
Hungry, Hungry Hippos from Hasbro.
I did not. I thought you were actually joking when you told me this because you didn't actually send me the link. You just mentioned it, and I did look this up. It is amazing. There's so many things to unpack here, but
Mr. Potato Head and Dr. Dre have a new record dropping next week.
Oh, what's it called?
I don't know. The Chronically Misplaced Ear. Doggy Style, it's called.
Okay, good. But no,
Potato Style.
But going to this, I believe when you read it that somehow Death Row is owned by a company that owns a company that owns a company.
Sure, the actual story isn't that surprising or all that interesting. These are just billion-dollar corporations gobbling each other up. Hasbro recently bought something called Entertainment One Multimedia, E1 for short. I believe that's the record label Ace Frehley's on, actually. But one of their many record labels is Death Row. So now, while there are plenty of other record labels, this just happens to be one. None of them have the comedic value of Death Row Records. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. This is another story about dogs. Well, the dog that don't pee on trees is a bitch. So says Snoop Dogg. So get your pooper scooper, cause the nigga's talking shit.
Agreed. I mean, but you have to realize that this is almost like a hostile takeover, having Death Row Records at Hasbro. Okay? Yeah. So they may have thought they just absorbed the label, but there's already been some changes. I'm not sure if you're aware of it.
Oh, well, let's hear them.
Hasbro owns tons of toys, things you grew up with, like G.I. Joe and Transformers, and already that. You know that the Transformers theme song is More Than Meets the Eye?
They also had GoBots, by the way.
That was, I don't think they had it at one. They used to be competitors. GoBots,
I think they actually bought GoBots.
Ooh,
they
that's
probably
a move
bought
right
GoBots,
there.
And that's how the big Transformer ended the GoBot run.
Exactly. But yeah, like there's been some sweeping changes throughout the corporation, and one of them is that the theme song, More Than Meets the Eye, has been actually changed to Bitches Ain't Shit But Hoes and Tricks. You don't like that one?
No, that was kind of... you can do better.
I'm not sure if you know this, but they own several board games, too.
I mentioned Monopoly, but yeah, there's...
Right. Well, Monopoly, yeah, that's one of them, too, is that now, I mean, it's been suspected for years, but the Monopoly Man is officially a pimp.
Hmm. Oh, right on. Yeah, new pieces. And actually, the prostitutes are really cheap on the first two properties there.
They are, yeah, yeah. You've got Potato Head now comes with a glass of gin and juice and a fat joint.
Does Potato Head rap? You know, he'd be like, you know, my nose is a block, curly fry for a cock.
I don't know. But there are also, there's the Eazy-E bake oven.
I like that. Everybody needs an Eazy-E bake oven, but you bake meth in it, right?
That's correct.
Or
you've
crack.
Got it. Yep.
You bake crack cocaine.
Sure. And the whole Pound Puppies series is now hosted by Snoop Dogg, and it's just Rottweilers and Pitbulls that fight to the death. You've got Scrabble is now just called Words and Shit. You got the Ouija board is now just called This Devil Be Crazy.
Oh boy. Instead of G.I. Joe and Cobra, you got Tupac versus canine. I'm trying to go deep on fucking their roster of artists. I swing and a miss.
No, that's fine.
How about Tupac versus Optimus Prime?
Ooh, that's nice. And a battleship's just called Drive By. There's also a new game besides renaming things, just called Misogyny.
I like the bitch please portion of misogyny.
Yeah? Okay. What about, did you ever see the aircraft carrier that G.I. Joe came out? It was like the ultimate thing to have. I'm not sure if you.
No.
Okay, it was just, you know,
I'm
you
sure
have
I
those
did
things.
At the time. I was just, don't recall.
Well, you know all that stuff, like Star Wars, you have like Yoda's place that he lived and all those like play sets you have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Well, they now have this, but the biggest one is this big hotel building they have for G.I. Joe. And that's where you just have Suge Knight hanging Vanilla Ice over the balcony, and you then get royalties from it.
What about Lincoln Logs? They could do anything there? Maybe like bricks of cocaine? Cocaine bricks?
Just stack them.
The Lincoln Logs are now sold with an expansion cocaine brick pack.
Or what's the thing that balances, the balance thing?
Well, the scale. Well, don't forget, we also have Hungry Hungry Hip Hoes.
Ooh. I actually thought that was going to be called Fuck Fuck Police.
That's nasty, bro.
I think this is a perfect example why, you know, Disney shouldn't own everything. Or in this case, Hasbro owning Death Row. That's just not something you're supposed to do, man. That's all childhood memories. If you could think of two extremes, yeah. These guys, I think, own the fucking Care Bears, for God's sake.
Cabbage Patch Kids, Care Bears, and fucking Suge Knight shaking someone
right.
down, man.
You've got a guy that was the I think he's in prison now, if I'm not mistaken.
Murder.
Okay, so
murder was the case that they gave him.
Huh?
Murder was the case that they gave him.
They actually did. That's right. Oh, yeah. I looked that up. He was actually put in jail for a fatal hit. Like, he hit somebody and then ran him back over. Like, went in reverse and ran over him again and crushed his body.
Yeah.
That is the actual CEO of the company they Hasbro bought.
I bet you he allows masturbation in the workplace. He doesn't have a real hard-ass HR department.
You know? No. Any HR department they've hired, like a contractor, has just like ran screaming from them.
And kind of tying back to our original point, oddly enough, he pled not guilty, but back to what I was talking about a little bit ago, there's video of him, like in security cam footage, of him backing over the person that he killed and then driving over him again. But if you look in the background, there's a couple of bros enjoying a flight of craft beer.
So you're telling me that this went down in front of the Miracle Birth Barn?
Scratch the surface, change it up.
big news for our show. One of our more recent mascots, or heroes, as I like to call him, Tommy Lee, made some headlines recently. I know you heard about this. Him and his wife, Mrs. Tommy Lee, were at Emeril's Restaurant in New Orleans. And basically, they said Tommy got kicked out for wearing a hat. And when he took it off, they kicked him out for saying fuck.
This is bananas.
Yeah. Bananas. Total bullshit, bro.
Bananas.
I can tell you this much. First off, before I go into this, I'm going to take Tommy Lee's side on this for the hat thing. If you're out and about and you're wearing a baseball cap, in no way, shape, or form am I ever taking that motherfucker off. Because hat head is a sin. You know what I mean? What are you supposed to do with that after you take it off? I would be pissed too.
Does it affect you much? I don't recall you having that much hair that it would be.
It doesn't matter. Once you have it, there's a ridge. Things are not as they should be. Hat head is not a thing to have.
Okay.
Man.
I don't wear hats, so I guess I don't know much about it. Other than sombreros and those Japanese rice paddy picking hats. Those are the only kind of hats I wear.
But still, I mean, what is Emeril, some kind of really high class joint?
Bam, I wouldn't think so, but you know, bam,
bam, bam. I'm gonna say one thing, and that is that I think there's many things left out of the story to get to that point where you have to where his hat had to be taken off. Bam, bam.
It
don't you think?
Seem if it was as simple as him being asked to remove his hat and he complied, that there must be more.
Bam, bam.
Too.
Of course. I mean, did the hat say "fuck you, you fucking fuck" on it? Bam, bam.
Only when you read it sideways. Looking at it normally, it looked like Chinese writing.
Bam, bam. Or was it a Mara hat?
No, Omega.
No, Mara. Make America rad again. Bam, bam.
Make America rad again. Yeah, I mean, come on. This is a guy who says it's okay to play with your food, and yet you can't wear a fucking hat in his restaurant?
Bam, bam. I don't know. I'm going to say that a lot of things were worked up. But first off, I'm just imagining him with a big posse of annoying people just like himself. Like, he probably showed up there with, like, a BMX gang. He probably rode there on a BMX. Can you see him riding the BMX?
Not BMX bikes. He'd be riding those bikes that, like, Southern Cal Mexicans like to soup up, you know, like almost like a... I don't even know what you would call those bikes, but you know, a lot of chrome and low rider kind of look to it.
Bam, bam. Oh, I just imagine showing up with like the same, like the kid from Better Off Dead, the $2 guy, like him hanging out with a bunch of like 15-year-olds. What do you think? That's about his mental state, is my point. Just tearing up the joint.
He's got to hang out with his intellectual peers.
That's what I mean. Like, so he's getting there.
He goes to a lot of Blink-182 concerts.
Bam, bam. He's ordering off menu, nothing but banana splits. Bam, bam.
You know, his wife initially said that it was bananas.
Bananas.
That's what I'm. That was where I was going. You okay. See that? Well, what about if his life is the same thing as like he always thinks he's on stage and he's, you know, he would have a camera on stage. Maybe he's taking his iPhone and video and going around saying, "Show us your tits." Bam. What do you think?
Oh God, he's definitely that guy. Yeah, there's no way he probably still has like a camcorder with tape that he goes around and gets like fucking Girls Gone Wild type videos.
That's what I mean.
He's probably in New Orleans and doesn't realize that Mardi Gras is just like a week in February. It's not like all the time. He's like, New Orleans titties.
Bam. Bam. I'm telling you, he was loud as hell. But what about if he really got drunk and threw $20 in the jukebox and did nothing but request Brandon 20 times?
He'd be fucking spinning goddamn Dead Mouse or something all night. but let's go through that. I'll go through the story a little bit here and see if we can weed out some details that maybe we think are maybe missing here.
Yeah.
Tommy and his wife, like I said, Mrs. Tommy Lee, they did not have the normal night out, is how the story says. When they went Delmonico, which is apparently Emeril's restaurant. So I guess it's not like Emeril Lagasse's, you know...
burger joint.
Yeah, okay. Because I'm sure there's places like that, too. This must be like maybe his actual original restaurant.
Right.
Anyway, there's video that you can see it on TMZ, but the Motley Crue drummer and his social media star wife...
Does it say that?
Yeah, it says that right there. Claim they
How
were
many episodes does she have now? I'm going to look it up while you're talking.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, fair. You track down her social media cred. They claim they were asked to leave the famous New Orleans restaurant due to Lee's casual attire.
Okay.
And this is a quote from Mrs. Tommy Lee. "It was actually really stupid." I'm assuming that's how she said it. Yeah. I mean, doesn't that, she comes off like a person who ends a lot of sentences on a higher note.
This is bananas.
Oh, there's absolutely an inflection at the end of every sentence. That her inflection is her punctuation. That's her period. Then,
how about they have a quote from her. I'll try to read it in her voice. Okay.
Please.
Okay. We literally go in there and we sit down and I have a hat on and Tommy, whatever, has a hat and on and the waitress or the host or whatever goes, yeah, you have to like take your hat off, sir. And I was like, what about my hat? And she's like, your hat's fine, but he has to take his off.
Bananas.
Anyway, he was wearing a regular baseball cap. So she doesn't understand the old school rules that women can wear their hats indoors and men cannot. And apparently this restaurant is abiding by that standard. You definitely are familiar with that concept, yes?
Of course. But my thing is, did they ask them that after they sat down and were served? Or is it right at the entrance is what they're
well,
saying?
Well, it just they said they sat down. So maybe here's one of the first cracks. They just went in and sat down. They skipped the whole waiting. They didn't have a reservation.
Ooh.
They didn't have. They didn't like check in or anything like that. They just went in. I'm Tommy Lee, bro, and then took a seat.
Bananas.
You know, I'm just imagining that maybe it wasn't the hat, but it was just because he was only wearing that leather jockstrap for the girls store.
But I like how she's already making a stink about the fact that it's okay for me to wear a hat, but not him. I mean, she could take her hat off, too, if she wanted to. It's not like the restaurant was saying you can't take your hat off. It's just already these are pain-in-the-ass customers. She is the worst person. Like, you know, she is basically on the cusp of, like, don't you know who he is? And she's doing it for him. She is Ace Frehley's wife. She is about to go on Twitter blast on Gene Simmons in Ace's name saying that Gene groped her.
Bananas.
If at places like you have to wear a tie or a jacket, you know, if you
jacket.
That's right. If they don't allow you to do that and you make it past the first stage of that restaurant, it's on them.
You're I agree
down.
With that.
If they follow protocol and we're sat down and then somebody was too big of a pussy to ask him to take off his hat, at that point, hat stays on. I'm just saying.
Well, there is another side of this story that we'll get to, but let me give you at least one more quote here, again, from Mrs. Tommy Lee.
Yeah.
So Tommy was like, oh, what the fuck, and took it off and put it on his lap, and then this guy comes up to the table. We have no problem. The hat's off. Everything's cool. And is like, excuse me, I heard you use profanity. So, I don't know. This seems to me where things have already gotten off the rails. You clearly, I'm sorry, she's a pain in the ass, self-important, loves
my
talking
God.
Under the help. She is inciting the situation for the sake of inciting it and then blaming it on the people just doing their job. That I'm 100% on. You know, look, maybe Tommy Lee is not the guy they want in their restaurant, but I don't think they actually want to cause a stink with him is how I'm reading it so far. This seems like they made it a bigger issue, and that's why it became one. That's my gut feeling. How about you?
You thought a lot more deeply about this than I did. The only thing I thought about was man should not be able to be demanded to have his hat taken off once he has entered and got past the security. Unless there was more shenanigans going on there, which I believe there was.
Yeah, I mean that's
kind of see
where,
what I'm saying.
That's where
wasted.
My head's at. I don't know.
Yes,
I've worked in restaurants a long time, and almost never is the customer right in this situation. Where you know you get some loudmouth jackass. They're drunk. They do all this stuff, and then they make a scene. And it's always their fault, but they always act like they were mistreated, or you know, it's like the 60s and their blood, and because of the color of their skin, they're forced to eat in the kitchen or something like that because someone said, "Sir, there's children in the room. Can you please not swear?" And they go ballistic, like that's an unrealistic you know consideration. You know, well, Emeril has his own side of the story. At least he's commented on it. I don't know how much you want to consider this breaking, but anyway, and of course it's 2019, so Emeril responds with a tweet.
Hey,
Tommy Lee's dress code situation is getting a lot of tension, getting as much attention as Popeye's spicy chicken sandwich.
I don't even understand that.
I love that Emeril opens with a joke. Oh, thank
Is
you.
It continue?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. He added hashtags chicken sandwich, hashtag chicken sandwich wars, hashtag dress code wars.
Bam, bam.
That was it.
I thought there was more to his tweet. I was waiting for the second part. That was it?
No, that was actually Emil responding to Tommy Lee's tweet.
Oh, I understand that. So is he mad because Tommy Lee catfished him?
Again, you don't know what catfishing is. you need to find MTV and watch a couple episodes. But I love, yeah, it's like there's a headline that says Emerald responds, and he really didn't. He just made a fucking joke about the recent Popeye's chicken sandwich nonsense. Love that chicken from Popeye's. I don't know. I mean, is there any more speculation? What really could have gone down? I just think that they were shitty customers and rude to the staff, and they said, you know what, you're wearing a hat you're not supposed to, and you just cursed loudly. Why? We're going to ask you to leave.
This is bananas.
What if Tommy Lee was just sitting on top of the table, spinning it around and drumming, like he thought he was on the Girls, Girls, Girls tour?
You know, the weird thing is, I don't put a lot of this on Tommy, just because intellectually I think he's probably numb to everything, right?
It doesn't suck.
He's just he's like a kid with his mom. Like, Mom, why we got to go?
What about the Photoshop of Tommy Lee with that Arby's hat that Pharrell was rocking for a while? It's a good look for him.
Yeah, no doubt. it's good to see that Tommy Lee still has enough money to eat at a restaurant like this. Things couldn't be going too bad, but that gold digger wife of his is going to be tapping him dry, I guarantee it.
This is bananas.
What do you think if he was wearing that Arby's hat and just went up to the wearer and said, I got the meats?
Oh, man. Look, I'm just glad he didn't have the leotards with him. I'd feel bad for his kids to have to experience this.
Oh, that is true. Yeah.
The shame of getting kicked out of a fucking celebrity chef's restaurant. So, sure. How many chef restaurants have you been kicked out of? For me, it's only six.
Is which? Yeah. Celebrity restaurant?
No.
Fled the crime scene. A new penthouse is next to town.
Sebastian Bach is on tour right now. Yes. Are you aware of this?
I am. Yeah, of course. 30th anniversary of the debut record. And you know, one of my favorite things is when an artist plays an album in track order.
Well, yeah.
Tribute bands and tribute tours. I don't know. Yeah,
especially
but he's on tour. He's doing the 30th anniversary of the debut record and playing the whole thing in fucking order.
That's right. That's right. Just like you, everybody wants to hear Dirty, Rotten, Filthy, Stinking Rich, front to back in order. He is also doing this with Skid Row, and I gotta tell you, surprised.
If you're gonna hear Big Guns, it's either the first song or you don't fucking play it.
Well, here's the deal, though. Aren't you a bit surprised that Sebastian Bach is not one of our mascots?
Not yet.
Yeah, who would win at a trivia contest of any intelligence level? Would Tommy Lee or Sebastian Bach?
Bach.
Where's your money? You think Sebastian?
Yes, yes. We're talking, well, what's the topic?
Well, I'm talking about any kind of thing that you would learn in school, is my point.
Okay. Not a whole lot of learning between these two. No, I don't think there's a high school diploma in either one of their houses. But I guarantee Sebastian Bach would slay at a Rock and Roll Jeopardy.
Yeah, okay. Like a bigger fan of rock in general.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can see that.
He definitely, I think he can go deep on a lot of real things. He's much more passionate about his career path, where Tommy Lee is more like a guy who accidentally fell into a pile of money because he was good at drums. I don't think he has a lot of deep knowledge on the history of rock or even his own band.
I think that I agree.
Who do you think would do better at Motley Crue trivia, Sebastian Bach or Tommy Lee?
What I think about is Sebastian.
Tommy, it's your band. Come on.
That's pretty good, Sebastian.
Thank you.
Sebastian is very well balanced, though. He has a broad spectrum of musical knowledge. He knows a lot about both Kiss and Ted Nugent.
Yeah, he could host. He could be the third host on Three Sides.
That's right.
Give him a bag of chips and fucking a beard. He's good to go.
I would actually watch that show then. For him to replace Mankini with Sebastian.
You know what? It would easily improve the show.
How could it not? But yeah, man.
Sebastian sitting in his own fucking Kiss museum.
He definitely, things are not going well for him if he's on that show.
I look for him to, hey, I'm trying to get him on our show. Come on.
Okay. So here's the thing. Same thing if he's on our show.
Yeah, that's where I was going with that.
Okay. But, the whole thing, when they first mentioned that he was going to be playing, Skid Row in entirety, I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. And then I realized that I don't need to hear any other song off that record when I went back to it. That, for me, that album has not aged well in full. Yes? No? What do you think?
It's definitely not as good as Slave to the Grind, but...
No, but I'm saying, he already plays Big Guns. I mean, it means for 100% you're going to hear...
I understand what you're saying. Yeah, I missed that point. Yeah, you know what?
He plays six or seven off of it already, at least when I... And there's some great songs. Don't get me wrong. Sweet Little Sister, Big Guns. Big fan of those songs. Obviously all the hits and stuff like that. But then you go to Can't Stop the Heartache. Oof. You got Tornado. I don't know. There's just not me. And then what's the one that says, Here I Am, Close Your Eyes, I'll Be Superman?
I
would run screaming. Yeah, but that is the dumbest songs ever. Anyway, I think it's cool. And I heard...
Making a Mess, is that on that record?
Yeah, do you dig that song? I think that's a good one.
It's okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's all right. But I guess my whole thing is, I'll be more excited in 2 years.
It's very hashtag me too.
What do you mean? Because he's just doing it like everybody else?
No, I'm saying that song is pretty misogynistic.
Oh, okay. Well, Get the Fuck Out would be even more. But off the next one. But I don't know. I will say this, too, before we get into some ripping of some post in a second. I did also hear some clips. He just started the tour a couple weeks ago. He sounds pretty good. He sounds solid. I mean, it doesn't sound 30 years ago like anybody else, but I would see it because he does play I think maybe four or five tracks from Slave near the end. But I would be extremely excited. There is one concert at the Whiskey where he's doing Slave to the Grind in full.
Believe it or not, I actually looked at flying out to go to those shows, but
Really?
Yeah. I mean, and just because Amy's a big fan, and it's right around the time that we would possibly do like one of our fall, you know, anniversary vacations. Huh. And I'm like, you know, we didn't do anything this summer, and she has some time off coming up. I thought, but the tickets were already gone. Almost instantly. I'm sure they're available through StubHub, but go fuck yourself, StubHub.
Yeah, I've been to Whiskey. It's one of the biggest dumps on earth. It's like maybe 200 people.
Yeah, but what a cool place
there.
To see those two shows.
Yeah. I mean, give me a break. I mean, come on. He's going to do that. You know he's going to do that tour, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, oh, you mean for that record?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but he's not coming this way on this thing. Is he hitting your town?
He is, and I'm going.
Okay, cool.
I mean, I'm planning on going, but I'll cancel last minute.
Yeah, you come up with a really solid reason not to do. Like, you know, I'm just really tired tonight. Oh my god! Hey, on a quick side note on that, Grim Reaper was here two nights ago.
Yeah,
and here's the sad thing: is that like not even the singer from Grim Reaper. I mean, we're just talking about fucking Grim Reaper. He has to call it Steve Grimmett's Grim Reaper. So there's some legal shit there. I don't know if you know this, but he lost his leg a few years ago.
Oh my god.
So someone showed a video like trying to promote it, like you guys gotta come, you're gonna miss this shit. And it's a video of basically someone in a it's a bar stage, so it's like knee high. You know what I'm talking? And this person is right in front of this guy. He looks like crap. He's got a fucking steel leg. He's wearing readers. And he's got a giant fucking, like, iPad teleprompter right in front of him. And he's not moving at all. So he needs readers to read the fucking iPad. It's just like, this makes... I mean, it's already difficult to get me to go to any show, much less Grim Reaper on a Wednesday. This isn't sealing the fucking deal, man. This guy looks like hell. Anyway,
that's not a very good promo video. That's the opposite of a promo video.
It wasn't.
And by the way,
it wasn't official. It was somebody saying, "Guys, just, you got to do go." You know, it's just like somebody's cell phone video, like trying to convince people to go.
Oh my god! Yeah. Hopefully, Grim Reaper.
Rocky to hell.
Cleared some money for you know a certain somebody, but damn, that's.
It did look like they had a decent crowd. I saw the picture. So
good.
But
you know what? You know what the secret was? They didn't have nine bands opening.
Yeah, this is true. Only two.
Okay. So back to Sebastian.
Yeah, he's got some news that we wanted to get into. I don't know, a few weeks back, he tweeted out, "For those who care about customer service, I am banned from Uber because I requested that my driver use the something called the Waze app." Must be some kind of like map, you know, quick.
You don't know what Waze is?
No, I'm gonna use it.
Oh, just Waze. It's a super great map app. But go ahead.
Well, apparently you and Sebastian Bach are in the same sense of mind.
Yeah.
It's as quick as possible. He did not want to, so he dropped me off on the side of the road with my luggage and my wife, then took off with my wallet. And then shortly after that, he took it to the next level and said, "Your driver just stole my wallet. Trying to call you on the phone is a complete joke. I want my wallet back. How do I go about doing this?" And the first thing I thought of is, well, clearly Rachel Bolan is an Uber driver on his off days. When they're not on tour, Rachel Bolan is working Uber.
What member of Skid Row is not an Uber driver or Lyft? Probably both.
I think Uber and Lyft are probably one of the main reasons that a lot of these bands from the 80s can still eat.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta tell you, when I was in, I was kind of wondering about this, and this kind of seals the deal, but when I was in New Jersey, my Uber driver was named Snake.
Hey, Snake.
What's up,
chatty?
Snake? He was pretty chatty. He had a lot of advice for me, like all Uber drivers do.
Was he eating crystals?
No, not like yours from back in the day. But think about that. Can I just tell you from a perspective of a man that was temporarily a Lyft and an Uber driver from how much bullshit
jobs,
this is?
Yeah.
Okay. So when I did the side hustle for a little bit, let me tell you what would have to go down for me to drop somebody and his wife off on the side of the road because they said they had better directions to get home. All you want is better directions than they have on their little thing. And they don't care. Lyft and Uber does not care. Like, if you have a way to get home faster, good. I have to spend less time with you.
Yeah, they don't. It's not like a taxi where it's like charged by the minute or a mile, right?
No, they get paid the same.
Your fee is posted when you start.
Your fee is the fee. So for him to get mad about that, untrue. There had to be something going on. And if you leave your wallet in the car, let me tell you, I left my phone in an Uber before, and you can just
use the contact number on it, and it immediately gets you back to that person or to give a message. But you know when I left my phone in the car? When I was fucking drunk. That's when you lose your wallet.
Yeah,
anywhere.
But I saw on that VH1 miniseries that Ted Nugent got Sebastian to give up alcohol. It took about 20 minutes.
Yeah, sure. He got it back. He made it giving it up.
According to Ted, no, he was fixed. So
okay, yeah, Ted, he's a man of integrity.
Oh God, yeah.
This
story is fucking complete bullshit. Now maybe he left his wallet in the Uber car, got drunk, and then threw a shit fit.
I'm thinking that he forced the guy to listen to any of his last three solo albums.
But on Sirius XM, Eddie Trunk's on tonight.
That's right. Or he started telling him more lies about how Skid Row's debut album was the top-selling debut album ever on that label. He's been going around saying that. I'm not sure if you know that. Facts are not a very good thing for him. And in fact, what does he really care about it being the highest ever? Because I don't think he got a single dollar of royalties. Didn't they have to sign that over to Bon Jovi?
I've heard so many different stories there that Richie gave his cut of the money back. Now, I think the big thing is that it might have been. I think it was either a flat fee or a portion of publishing, but I don't think it was like every penny.
Okay. All right.
But well, this is not the first time that Sebastian has gone after Uber on Twitter.
I don't really? Know
if you knew this, yeah. So back about a year ago, it actually started with a tweet from David Spade saying something along the lines of, "You guys should really offer." An option to let the driver know if you feel like talking or not.
Spade say that?
Yeah, David Spade tweeted something to that effect out. And Sebastian saw that. Uh-huh. And so he, of course, you know, he retweeted because he's, you know, trying to glom on any kind of fame he can get.
Oh, my Lord in heaven, I thought I was the only one being tortured. Please, can I ride quiet without answering questions about what I'm doing and where I'm from? Same old bullshit every time.
I want a conversation between Sebastian and Eddie Trunk coming up here soon. I see that in the future. We're going to have to work that out.
Okay.
Because between that voice, that is a great Sebastian, too. I love it. He is definitely giving a mascot. I see Sebastian in our future right now.
Vodka,
we've broken
God.
New ground here. I'm going with it. I love it.
Well, it'll really come to fruition if you actually make it out to the show. We'll definitely have some show material after that. But yeah, you know, it does seem odd though. 4.5 years, have we really talked about him? I mean, because he is kind of our go-to kind of guy, right?
Right in the beginning, I was yelling about the fact that Skid Row couldn't get back together for the Guns N' Roses.
Sure.
Reunion tour, and why can't you guys get this shit together? Because it still mystifies me that all these bands, I mean, this guy must be.
Yeah, we just talked to Jason Buehler from Saigon Kick. He can't stand any of the guys. He doesn't seem to fucking care.
Own bus. Come on.
But I'm saying, like, how bad do you have to be of an annoying fuck do you have to be that Eddie Van Halen could at least get together with David Lee Roth? I mean, both of them, I mean, Sebastian and David Lee Roth are kind of cut from the same tree, except that there's no brain on Sebastian's tree.
Yeah, Sebastian is the Chevelle to David Lee Roth's Tool.
That's right. He says a lot of stuff, but none of it's clever.
Yeah.
And he's constantly on. I mean, I think, but the thing about too is that Sebastian basically wakes up every day confused and angry immediately. You know, he's just like, where am I? Why am I? You know what I mean? He just fires off. He starts yelling at fans, and then he just shows up.
Oh,
and
God.
Randomly
every day he's Drew Barrymore from 41st Days.
Doesn't know where he is. All he knows is he's surrounded with, he has a kiss
Who
room.
Are you?
Huh?
Who are you?
I'm your wife.
Like I'm saying, the whole thing where you said that Tommy Lee is one financial decision away, bad financial from being playing Grimace.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Sebastian put all of his money into Kiss paraphernalia. Everything. He went big, all in.
Big eBay sale coming up. Did you ever see that video of him getting some of his like items that were lost in a hurricane? And he opens it up and finds like some Kiss mirror that meant meant a lot to him. And I think he's dirty as hell, and he starts crying. He's like, oh, my God, I thought I lost this.
I would just like to see his insurance claim.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you have to, when you have water damage and stuff like that, you have to list all the items to get the value back. And they're just like, they look at all these items, they're like, would $10 work?
Oh, God.
Did you hear my $10 thing?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a full value. You love it because it is that cut a little too close to the bone there for you, Flacco?
No, it doesn't. Hey, man, I actually moved a bunch of my Kiss stuff and made some money.
Oh, good. That's excellent. What about that? What about that pinball machine that plays no sounds?
You know, I could easily get my money back on that.
Okay, that's good.
I threw that up. God, I was in a weak moment. I decided I had to get rid of it, and I put it up on eBay for $2,500. This is about 15 years ago. It sold in 10 minutes, and I freaked out. So I messaged the guy and said, like, I waited a couple days and then said, we had a pipe burst. The thing is damaged. I can't in good faith sell it to you.
A pipe.
I panicked, you know, and I'm like, it dawned on me that, like, okay, if it sold that quick for $2,500, I can get a lot more for it. And it also was just like, I had to really work my ass off to get the money to pay for it at the time I got it in my life. I was 24 years old, and I didn't have $1,700, much like my guitar. I basically just volunteered for every extra shift I could for 2 weeks, and then I went and bought the damn thing. So, you know, there's some emotional connection to it. But I got to tell you, every time I got to move it, I think about getting rid of it.
We'll be right back.
Well, it's been fun talking to you, Luis. One thing I think we should remind the listeners of is our fancy new website, cobrasandfire.com. Go there to get all this stuff like the Box of Fire we talked about earlier, all sorts of, like you've mentioned in the past, links to our Decibel Geek articles are on there. You can find every episode we've ever done, and it's all streaming and all compact and all in one site.
Oh, it also has the Buy Us a Beer program is in the store now, too, versus going to GoFundMe, if you wanted to do it that way.
Fair enough. And you can also find us on Twitter. Please follow us if you're on Twitter. It's at Cobras Fire. Find us on Facebook and give our page a like. Join our group, Cobras on Fire. And that really covers most of our social media right now. The only Instagram is my personal page, but send me a go ahead and follow me on there too. I could use an extra follower.
So you want to get out of here?
Yeah, man, it's been fun. And we haven't actually done this in a while, so it's nice talking to you again.
Exactly.
But I'm wiped out.
So you're a fat boy. Rock's not dead.
And it's not taking off its hat. By the way, today, you know that Blink-182 record, Take Off Your Pants and Jacket?
Sure.
I just today got the pun.
Wow.
I mean, I've spent zero time thinking about it.
Well, sure. But you know, that's
I don't own the record. That's really.
That is the world's greatest joke grenade.
Yeah, I guess.
25 years later, you get it.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.